Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about a molecular tour of PFOS. That's perfluorinated or perfluorooctane sulfate. And it's in a firefighting foams and in a fabric protectors from the 70s and 80s before it was withdrawn. This is the critical thing that defence has used as a firefighting foam. That has gotten to the water supplies and has caused a lot of problems. So I'm just going to give you a little molecular tour of it. The actual origin of this is talking with the people at Fireys at a barbecue. They talked about the different surfactants used and firefighting foams and how they had AFFF, which is, I think, firefighting foam, and that's been replaced with the B, firefighting foam, and whether these carcinogenics get into the water supply and breaking down. So I thought I'd look at a better look at it. So there's two methods or two sort of chemical things you can add to firefighting foams. One actually fights the actual fire. And that is a chemical that when it gets into the bubble of a flame, this is the area of a flame, the lit area of flame, which is full of semi-burnt but highly reactive gases, which tend to interact with the fuel, break down the fuel and make it reactive. So essentially just fuel and air doesn't require anything. People normally think that fuel, air and heat is necessary, but that's not necessarily true. It's fuel, oxygen and radicals are the key things to making a fire, because a radical causes the fuel to break down and become reactive with the oxygen, which provides more radicals. It's a sort of a chain reaction of oxygen breaking down the actual fuel. And so, of course, the actual action of the radicals can be enhanced by the heat, but this heat goes into the radicals, which go into breaking down the fuel, which goes into the chemical reaction. So it's not directly heat. So you can actually, that's well known, you can heat up a engine, but it's the actual spark that's required, and you have a flame throat front that progresses far more quickly than actually any heat can be transported or generated. It's only, you know, milliseconds later that the flame reaction, the burning, say, in your engines continues, and you actually get the heat generated. So the actual flame goes first and then the heat comes afterwards in various things. So there are these chemicals that you can put into a flame which actually poison the actual radicals and actually stops the radicals from propagating, and you can basically spray this gas at a flame and the flame will just die and go away. Now, the one chemical that I do know, one element that does work, is antinomy, it's antinomy chloride, which is SB chlorides, and what happens is, from my memory, you have antinomy basically in mattresses and things which are curtains, and when it heats up, it reacts with the volatile, the antinomy is put into the atmosphere and it reacts and burns with the antinomy, with the chlorines that's in the flame, and this then poisons the flame and destroys the flame. So you need the flame enough to heat the fire retardant up for it to actually kick start. So if something's smouldering, it'll smoulder the way through, but if it actually bursts into flame, the intense heat will release the flame retardant. Now that's actually not too used in, I'm sure there is some chemicals in firefighting, but firefighting foams, the major idea is to increase the effectiveness of the water. So the water, if it just sits on a surface, can allow the surface itself can get hot and it cools by evaporation, but if it actually gets into the surface, the actual contact is greater. So the aim of these firefighting foams is to be a surfactant, that is to break down the water surface. And along came, by a freak discovery, this molecule, which is an extraordinary cute molecule. I think it looks a bit like a caterpillar, especially the sulfate version of it, PFOS, perfluorinated octane sulfate, because the when you look at the fluorines are often expressed as in space-filling models as green spheres. You get these green spheres, and so for each carbon atom you have in the chain, you get two-ish fluorines and one at the end. So so let's go up. I'll just describe it quickly, and you get this sort of, it looks like a eight-legged little caterpillar with a little face with ears and nose and a little hydrogen on the outside. That's what I visualize it. There's a little critter, this is something which has got something very polarized on one end and something very, this is the sulfate bond. It's a sulfate at the end can interact with water violently and actually reduces the surface tension. So if you can imagine you're spraying an area, a sheet, with it. Now it's a very interesting chemical to think about, you know, what they're doing. So they put a chemical on it and it actually, reduces the surface tension and lets it soak in and wet an area. So you can imagine you're firing your water cannon at an area, and this a lot of it will initially bounce off, but if you have this, it will actually soak the surface. Now there's a whole series of chemicals that I know that are used, I don't know how safe they are. There's a fine spray you can actually spray over a tree, and it acts as sort of like a plastic bag on it, and it just does not catch a light. So you can pre-treat areas. Now I know that that's been developed, but I don't see firefighters using it. Firefighters do use it with the foam. So when you see water, say drop from a water bomber, they will drop, they'll mix it in the tanks before dropping it, and it'll be coloured, and it'll have this surfactant foam. So if you imagine if you had a bucket of this and it was thrown at you, a lot of it would normally bounce off you, but if this surfactant was put in, it would drench you to the skin very, very quickly, and this obviously helps for the litres that you're firing. You put, say you have 100 litres of water and you add 1 litre of this in, or just a few a cupful of it in, 100 litres of water in a big backpack. So you've got several backpacks. It just means that you can walk up and equivalently, it means that the amount of water that you has a water firefighting effectiveness of a factor of 10 or even times 100 times greater. So let's get into this molecule. As we're talking about, this molecule is got a alkanes. So an alkane, working up from alkanes, you have methane, which is carbon and four hydrogens, ethane, two carbons and six hydrogens all up. It goes, as they go up with a simple alkane, has a simple formula of CnH, 2n plus 2. I think that's the answer for it. It's, 2n plus 2. That's 4, 6, 8 as you go across, and they go up. There's a special naming thing, and it's one of these great, great things. There's actually, for a while, there's no logic to it. It's just historic, and it's, you know, these lovely things. So it goes methane, ethane, propane, butane, pentane, hexane, septane, octane, nonane, or decane, as it goes up, increasing length. And what essentially happens is that you get some very long chain hydrocarbons in your petrol, a whole mismatch of things, and you put it in a differential oil refinery, and what happens is the oil, which has, so you have a temperature gradient from the top to the bottom, and essentially it boils and condenses, and you have a condensing column which you pick up the fraction that you want. So the methane goes right up to the top, ethane or the butanes go right up to the top at room temperature. You heat up a few hundred degrees, or 70 degrees, you get things which are, you boil off, successively boil off, lighter and lighter. It's called a fractionating column. You get a particular fraction that you want. So you get octane. Now the octane in your fuel, high octane, it has a lot of energy of it. So the more carbon you have, you know, the less hydrogen you have in it, the more energy you have in it. So octane, as it goes deeper, it doesn't turn into a gas. So you, octane has a highest carbon per gas thing. It's tuned, and you have cyclooctanes and stuff like that. Now, if I want to say what a fire retardant is, lead is a fire retardant of petrol. Lead stops it, free radicals going around and your engine knocking. So they used to put lead inside your petrol. And so this is an idea, but this is a PFOS. PFOS is the stuff which people are suing the government for millions of dollars worth. There's the US and Australian Air Force used heaps and heaps of it, and this PFOS lasts a long time. Of course, the same very people could go down to the supermarket and buy a tin of PFOS and spray their entire house with it in the form of Scotch Guard. Now, of course, things have changed. They've realised that PFOS, the octane version of it, doesn't work. It has a persistence of 5 or more years, whereas if you get the same sort of chemical, but not PFOS, PFBS, that chemical does pretty much the same job, but is biodegradable. So there's a push to have that instead. But if you can imagine octane, now what we do is we react it in sulfuric acid, and it's sulfuric acid is H2SO4, and it reacts and forms a sulfonated octane. So one of the hydrogens is removed and replaced with a HSO4. So it's a sulfur bond, and I just wonder if there's four. I just want to think there might be three. A sulfate, SO3. Maybe a sulfite rather than a sulfate. I'm not quite sure on that. I'll have to look at it and print it up. But then what happens is that you react it with hydrofluoric acid, and the hydrochloric acid attacks all the free hydrogens. It doesn't attack the sulfate because that's the sulfuric acid and everything, but it reacts. I think it's called an electrochemical reaction. I find it sort of hard to understand how this operates. But this essentially attacks the hydrogen that's attached to the carbon chain. So you've got a chain of 8 carbons. The end hydrogen on that is removed, and a sulfate is removed. Now, looking at it, I think it's a sulfite. Sulfate, I have to really, really think about this. I'll have a look at it. Now, this is my memory going on. So I have had a quick look at it. It's a really cute looking molecule. So you've got there 8 plus 2, 10 hydrogens. One gets removed for the sulfate to be put on, and then you have a hydrogen back on the top of it, and then you have 9 other hydrogens, and each of those hydrogens gets ripped off to form hydrogen gas, and the fluorine goes in and bonds to the octane. So the octane gets completely substituted with fluorine, and this produces something which has got a wicked reaction with the water. Now, I'm just trying to actually think what it would actually do to surface tension. There's something which happens with the surface tension. So surface tension is the bonding, essentially the ability of water to bond to itself. So if you, are a group of your sort of fairly touchy people, and you're in a room, you'll tend to move to each other and start to hug each other. And so water hugs itself up into a little droplet. So on glass, with this large surface, and say water's got a large surface tension, it will tend to pull into a droplet. And if you can actually interfere with the actual water-to-water attraction, and there must be something, some way that it operates in this surface tension area, it will not stick as much to itself, and therefore stick more to the actual surface. So that's something to really, you know, I can't really quite imagine the actual molecular system. Now, the thing with this is that it's got two properties of it. This particular substance has two properties. It has the property of repelling water, so you've got all that. It's polar, right? But it's polar, but then it also repels water. So you can imagine the water is rather wanting to stick together. This is dissolved in the water, so it's polar, dissolved in the water, but it's repelling water. So that's a bit of a something which repels water, but the water likes it. So the water sucks it in, but then hates itself. It sort of loses its own self-esteem. So when it gets dissolved in the water, it repels it, so there causes a lower tension. But it's also fat repelling. So PFOS is both a water repellent and oil repellent, but also has a binding, a polar binding. So it's the ideal fabric spray of Scotchgard. So you can spray it on a fabric, and that fabric will not get dirty. Unfortunately, it may also cause long-term kidney damage and take many years to dissolve into the environment. So most recently, I understand that Scotchgard is still available, but rather than PFOS, perfluorinated sulfide,
sulfate. It's got PBS, so perfluorinated butane sulfate. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll get on to the next podcast. Thanks for that. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.